You're listening to the League of Ordinary Gentlemen podcast with your hosts, Brent and Angelo. This is episode 105 for your favorite podcast and mine, Kiss, Marry, Kill. Angelo, how are you this week?
Hey, Brent, doing well. Congratulations on making it through to almost the end of the March break. And yes. I was about to say successfully, but we were just talking and it actually wasn't so great for you, eh? A little bit of a bug going through the family.
Oh, yeah. We've been down and out pretty much the whole week. But, you know, that's how things work sometimes in, you know, the cards that you dealt. But anywho, still, you know, it's, you know, still nice to have time with the family and do the other things, but I'd just rather not be, you know, puking.
Well, I think so. The way you said it to me is it happened shortly after Nick and I made the trade last week, and it just you were sick to your stomach, and then just
I caught a bug at that point. I caught that bug, and it just took a long time to incubate in my system here, and then it did violently make it rear its ugly head in the toilet bowl a number of times over the past couple of days. So,
there was a bit of an antidote with your trade with Mike. We'll talk about it in a little bit too.
Oh my goodness. What a week. I'll tell you, listen, this is going to be quite the episode this week. Something new. We'll talk about that in a minute, but lots and lots of things happening in the league, lots of things happening in the league as well. The NHL as well, which we'll talk about. We'll talk about a little bit of a new segment here too, but why don't you give the rundown of today?
Yeah, so let's talk about our main topic first. And there's a little social game out there and has many, many different variations. We're going to use the family friendly version called Kiss, Marry, and Kill. And it's going to be three players from each.
Killing's game. Family friendly, I think.
I think it's family friendly for sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, some of the other words we could use to replace kiss and marry would,
I know. It's true. So, yeah.
Which we can, cause, there have been requests for me to swear
on. To bring swearing back.
Yeah. I actually had a text from a manager this week. And it was Nick actually saying, I can't believe you didn't drop an F bomb, after we made a trade or if I didn't actually know when Nick, he said when he got off the podcast last week that I didn't.
Yeah,
my famous one-liner for him. yeah, so we're going to do Kiss, Marry, Kill. Kiss is going to be a player on each team that's been a real pleasant surprise, really nice addition to the team. Marry is a player who has performed or completely outperformed what was expected or is an elite level player you'd like to keep on your team forever. Marry that player forever. And then Kill is a player who was a disaster, disrupted your season, caused you not to achieve what you wanted to achieve, was a keeper that was a disaster. Any of those things would be a consideration for the kill category. And we'll go through all 12 teams and do a kiss, marry, and kill for each one of the teams. Before we do that, we obviously talk about NHL news and league news, and we do winners and losers. But we also had a request from a listener. We'll just call it a listener because it makes it sound like.
That's right.
That we should be having a new segment called Who's Hot and Who's Not. So we're going to add that, and we are going to keep it simple this week. Three players who are on fire in the league. They are roster players, and then three players who are very, very cold and concerning for managers. So that'll be our new segment, Who's Hot, Who's Not. First, let's get to NHL news.
I think we got the new segment request because people wanted this show longer.
I think, people want a good
after an hour. An hour and 5 minutes is like, is that it?
I know. You know
it can't be it. So they go back and listen to it again. And like, I guess that was it. But here we go.
We're going to have to speed talk today to get this within an hour.
Ooh, so, are we ever?
So, in terms of the NHL, the trade deadline came and went. But really, out of nowhere, unexpectedly this week, Eastern Conference wild card is absolutely heating up. So right now, and we are taping this Saturday afternoon, so Detroit and Buffalo have played. Detroit just won. The Islanders just lost to the Senators in overtime, so there have been some changes in the standings. But by the time you publish this, it may even be different.
Yeah.
But as of right now, Tampa and Detroit hold down the wild card spots. Islanders, Capitals, Sabres, Devils, Penguins, all within 7 points of that wild card spot. So out of nowhere, what was a seemingly boring wildcard race has now completely heated up.
Yeah, so I just got the standings up right now. It's amazing to see this. Well, actually, when you start talking about it, and really Pittsburgh's not kind of out of it quite yet either, right?
Well, I think they're playing tonight, right? So they're
playing tonight.
Detroit won, which put them up seven, but they, as of this morning, the Penguins were only five out.
Yeah, so it's 76 points for oh, my cat just jumped up on the window, so that's nice. Tampa Bay's at 76 points. And just to put it into context here, or just a little bit of perspective, the Leafs, remember just a little bit earlier, we're in this podcast series, we were talking about how Tampa Bay was kind of pulling away from the Leafs. Well, it's been a little bit opposite now, right? So they're up at what looks like 8 points. So as Tampa Bay is at 76, Islanders 72, Detroit 72, Washington 71, Buffalo 69. We'll talk about your Buffalo experience here in a bit. New Jersey 68, and then Pittsburgh 67. So you're really right on this one here. When you look at the East and you look at that wild card race, massive opportunities for teams to kind of squeak in and get into the playoffs here with this race. And I mean, there's definitely ramifications for the league here as well, because if a team is getting hot and you got some of those players on your squad, you're going to benefit for sure.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying this. So let's talk about Buffalo a bit. So I was there on Tuesday night and saw the Sabres and Detroit, and my family all agreed that the Sabres are actually a very exciting team to watch. If I wasn't a Sens fan, I would have no problem being a huge Sabres fan. They underperformed, and I'm so happy to see them in the race because they are a good hockey team. Like, the Atlantic better watch out next year, because I'm, from what I saw from Buffalo, like Detroit, I'm glad Detroit won today. Good for them. But there's no question that Buffalo is the closest of the rebuilding teams in the Atlantic to, I think, to be in a playoff spot next year. And just looking at their line, like, Alex Tuck is a giant. I didn't realize how big he was.
He's like 6'8" or something, isn't he? Or something like,
I don't know. I knew Tage Thompson was big.
I was thinking of Thompson there. Yeah. Like, one of them is like 6'8". He's like,
that's Thompson, I think.
Yeah.
But then you look at the rest of their lineup, and it's so impressive. Like, you know, Jordan Greenway, who they got from Minnesota, he is a mean, big man. Dylan Cousins is an incredible centerman. Zach Benson, who was their draft pick this year, something around 13th overall, I can't remember where he got picked last year, is already playing. He got 3 points that night, and all that guy does is score.
You got, like, Bo Byron. Remember, you picked up Byron, right? So Bowen Byron, and you picked him up, and he got two goals, didn't he?
He did, yeah. But Jeff Skinner, J.J. Paterka, who the Senators should have drafted in the second round, instead they took another guy, but best buddies with Tim Stützle, they could have had him in the same draft, but that's for another day. But then on their defense now, they've got Bowen Byram is their number one power play defenseman now. Rasmus Dahlin, who's a left-handed defenseman, is actually slotted over to the right, so it's Dahlin and Byram as their first pairing D. And then you've got Owen Power, who will be a superstar, right behind them. The goalie was great. Like, really, honestly, a really impressive team. So while I'm a Sens fan, when it comes to the wild card race, I am rooting for
Buffalo.
Yeah. I think my laptop just froze a bit.
Did it? You seem to be coming
through. Yeah, I can't get... Oh, that's good. I can't get back to... Oh, I just got back. Came back. Okay, we're good.
What was interesting, I've only been to one game in Buffalo, and it was many, many years ago, but it was still a lot of fun. And back then I thought they were kind of a breakout team, and they just haven't had that same luck. But seeing who's on their squad now, and it's got to be exciting to go to a game there for sure, because there is still lots to cheer for in that team. They got a lot of young players. Hopefully they can kind of get past that rebuild kind of phase, and it looks like they are. So good on Buffalo.
Yeah, so they lost today, and they needed to beat Detroit, so that is going to hurt them a bit, but it's exciting. The Capitals, out of nowhere, their goals for against, their the Penguins don't seem to be doing well, but you know, they can possibly make a run as well. So really exciting. And then in the West, what I find exciting is, because everyone hates the Vegas Golden Knights now, They're only 4 points up on Minnesota. I would love to see Vegas miss the playoffs after all of the shenanigans that they do every year around the trade deadline. I would love that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. It might be a bit of a stretch there for sure that they'll miss, but we'll see how deep they can go into the playoffs and to see if the likes of Vancouver, Edmonton, and Winnipeg can kind of keep pace as well. So we shall see. That is a brief bit of NHL news. And part of this whole, we talked about Pittsburgh. After the trade deadline, did you hear all of these pundits talking about, is this Sidney's last kind of swan song with Pittsburgh? I mean, we mentioned that they're kind of still in the hunt here. But this could be, some are saying, his last little roundabout with the Penguins.
Well, I think he can sign an extension in July, and I would believe he doesn't want to go anywhere, although he's super competitive. Montreal is the team that he idolized growing up, but I couldn't see him wanting to go to a team that's rebuilding. Colorado would be amazing, but they just got Mittelstadt. But could you imagine McKinnon and Crosby as the 1-2 center?
Yeah, that'd be pretty neat.
So I believe that's just a lot of smoke right now because they're not playing well. If Crosby ever went to management and said, if you can get something for me, I'm open to going to a contender, but I don't think they would ever actively try to move him.
It's interesting though, what this article, I think it may have been through the Athletic. I mean, your favorite source here, but there are a lot were mentioning that just basically that they have nothing in their system anymore. It's all been dealt away and it's all, he doesn't have anybody to play with and it's just not a good situation for him. So if he can sign, he can get his money, he can extend and this and that, but he's going to end up, his career is going to be ending up on a losing team. And that's not really what he, wants either. So I don't know if that's going to be, something that is more than just rumor, but there's something to it because, Dubas is there. So he's traded away pretty much everything.
You know, who I see as a possible out and it would be mutually beneficial is if Dubas came knocking on Ottawa's door, because there are rumors of Carlson potentially returning to Ottawa.
Yeah, I've heard that one too.
And Ottawa has an imbalance of left defense. Chychrun has been shot, but I wonder if there would be a deal there where both teams take on an element of risk where, Carlson's a pretty expensive defenseman that comes back to Ottawa. Maybe they extend Chychrun in Ottawa and they trade away Thomas Chabot, who's a pretty expensive guy. So it's almost a dollar in, dollar out, a little more for Ottawa. Yeah. And then maybe Josh Norris, who just had his third shoulder surgery, goes that way as well. And someone like a Riley Smith comes to Ottawa. So you're kind of clearing out. You're getting a little bit younger if you're Pittsburgh. In Ottawa, you're getting a little bit more experience. I don't know. Could be. But I think definitely Pittsburgh is in a bind. Dubas is going to have to pull off some magic. Vancouver was like this a couple of years ago. They had nothing in the system, and somehow their management did a brilliant job to turn things around there.
Yeah, they've got to do something, when it thinks about it. It doesn't mean it's impossible for sure. I didn't really think about the Vancouver piece, but you're right. I just wanted to throw that out there to get your thoughts on it, because it's going to be an interesting piece. The summertime is always interesting when some of these players can be extended and everything else. So, and it obviously has an impact in the league. Is the third time the charm for Atlanta?
Looks like it. So Anson Carter, a former NHLer, is the leading spokesperson. Certainly he would not have the pockets to be able to pull this off. And we'd heard about this, when we talked about Salt Lake.
Yeah.
And the genesis of the Salt Lake Sandpipers in our pool. Very similar template, right? Where they have made a release and that would be orchestrated with the permission of the NHL. They wouldn't just come out and do this, basically saying they're excited to be searching for an NHL franchise and applying for one when it's available. The NHL comes out and says, oh, we're not really expanding right now, but really they would have helped craft that release. A bunch of like big name deep pocket investors. And I believe that's the one that, they would build an entertainment district just in the suburbs of Atlanta. They're saying from their studies, that's where the majority of NHL fans were. And even though most stadiums, you want to be in the downtown core, I don't know the geography of Atlanta, but apparently having a stadium in the downtown core of Atlanta is actually a bit of a nightmare in terms of actually getting into the core, things to do around the stadium, maybe some safety issues. So the Braves built a new stadium just outside of Atlanta, and it's been a huge success. And so now maybe this is the model that's going to work for them, but it sounds like this would be one that would not fail because they would have very deep pockets, a stadium in the appropriate location. And then you've got tons of corporations there. Coca-Cola's head office is there. The new broadcaster in the U.S., their head office, Turner Broadcasting, is there. So, yeah, I think it's a done deal. I think before too long, we will be seeing the announcement that the state of Utah is getting a franchise, and then the NHL is going to return to Atlanta. So I see it happening.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be something to watch for sure. I agree with you. I think this one, you know, if it goes back to Atlanta, it's not going to be one that that fails in any. I think it's a different situation than it was when the Thrashers left, for sure. There's more, probably more of a corporate interest, as you said. Now there seems to be more of a cachet for people with lots of money to have or be tied to sports franchises as well. And the NHL is kind of like the last professional sports organization that is somewhat affordable, I guess, for these ultra rich people. MLS or something like that, but MLS is getting crazy prices too as well.
But the other thing that the NHL did right, and again going back to my fandom as an Ottawa guy, when the Senators came in and the San Jose Sharks came in Tampa Bay, the expansion draft was horrible. Like, the teams could protect so many players that you literally got scraps. Like, one of the worst seasons in NHL history in their first. Whereas when Vegas came in, we all saw what happened. They win the cup within 5 years.
Yeah.
Seattle made the playoffs in their second year.
Yeah.
You know, because other teams were wised up a little bit and didn't do the deals that Vegas got. But you're coming in now into an environment where you are competitive off the bat. It used to be, you know, you're the new toy. So for 5 years, you can suffer and figure out how to build your team. And then hopefully in year 6, 7, 8, you make the playoffs. Now it's, let's actually let you be competitive off of the bat. And when you're competitive off the bat, as we saw in Vegas, like, those fans are hardcore fans.
Yeah. And
I believe that Vegas, the Golden Knights, are actually more a fabric of the city of Las Vegas than the NFL team, the Raiders, are, because the Raiders came from Oakland. And when they get their football team, or sorry, their baseball team from Oakland, again, it'll be an outside team coming in. Whereas I believe the people in Vegas truly, to their core, love the identity of the Golden Knights because they were built in Vegas. They have the Vegas swagger. They're a huge part of the sports and entertainment landscape, and the first team to go there. I think that's a model that the NHL wants to replicate elsewhere.
And then you look at these franchises too. I think it's a different time where you see where there's an impact on the league too when there's a struggling franchise. So take a look at, and I'm sure there's a financial impact too. I just don't, you know, have that information or that experience or that smarts to actually know all of that stuff. But when you look at Phoenix and you look at the Coyotes, there's a definite impact to have these struggling franchises. So the NHL is going to go to territories and markets that they know that they can be incredibly successful, and they're going to use Vegas as and Seattle, really. Both of them have been incredibly successful expansions as models, right?
Yeah, that's the way it's going to go. And I think by the end of 2024 we will hear that it's a done deal, and they'll probably stagger the entry of those teams because the, you know, stadiums still need to be built, and they can't have two expansion teams at once. So, but I would assume within the next 4 or 5 years those teams are skating in the NHL. So what are we into, hour two already?
We are a solid 20 minutes in already. So 19 minutes.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, this is great.
Let's get into some Lugue news. So
my goodness.
Yeah. Listen, everyone. So we're taping this on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. We have to tape because tomorrow is St. Patty's Day. So happy St. Patrick's Day.
And to you as well.
You are, and I was thinking about this as like part of the reason actually why we are taping this a day early, because if we were to tape at a regular time, you would have probably already had 5 Guinnesses in you.
That's true.
You were one of the very few people that I know And I've sat at a bar with you many times that can sit and drink Guinness all night and be not only completely fine. It's not that, but just it's like drink for me. It's like it'd be like drinking. I can have one or two. More than that, it feels like you're drinking loaves of bread. But you can sit and drink it all night long. And I chalk it up to your Irish heritage.
It is my Irish heritage. I find it very refreshing. Nothing to me. Like if I'm on a beach in, if I ever go to Turks and Caicos, if I go to Turks and Caicos Island, it's 35 degrees. I'm sweating. Yeah. And you're on the beach and a beach bartender comes by. What would you like?
I like a Guinness.
I'll have a Guinness. That would be great. Just a can. You don't even need to. Yeah. Just bring me a can and I'll drink it.
If I saw those family photographs of like, your family's on the beach, some has a pina colada in their hand and someone else has a tropical drink and you have a big frosty pint of Guinness. It would not shock me in any way. So
no. And we should point out in fairness that Guinness is sponsoring this episode. True. Thank this you to is. Our friends at Guinness and wishing Patrick's everyone Day, a safe and happy St. Patrick's Day. So into Luke news we go. Depending on when you're listening to this, the trade deadline is upcoming.
Oh boy.
As of right now, it's less than 48 hours away when we're taping this on March the 18th. I don't know if it's going to be an overly busy trade deadline because we did see some monster deals to build on the monster deals we already saw. So
I think it's going to be a bit busier and we'll get to winners or losers and all that kind of stuff. I think it's actually last week. I didn't think it was going to be massively busy in any way. I'm wondering, and we'll get to that in a bit, but sorry, I cut you off here. We saw a couple monster deals.
Yeah. So you and Mike make a deal. You ship away Rantanen, Samsonov, and Vasilevsky. You get back Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, and Philip Grubauer. So massive haul for you. We had been prodding Mike for several weeks to pick up some goalies. He must listen to the podcast because he did pick up two. Are they the best goalies this year? No, but is he trying to gain in the goalie category? Absolutely, with this and trying to cushion the loss of Matthews and McDavid with a pickup of Rantanen, who is a great player this year. I would have to tip the scales very much in your favor for this deal, but I do have to acknowledge the fact that Mike is at least trying to do something to counter all the things that Nick did.
Yeah, Mike's been taking a bit of heat on this deal, and I can kind of see why. And he was very apprehensive. I made this deal when I was in Toronto with my family. I wasn't sick yet. I had a couple of pints at this junction when I was doing this deal. My wife was getting quite upset with me that because this was taking precedent over family time.
Well, then you and I were texting while I was trying to have family time in Niagara Falls.
Yep.
It was good. I thought it was appropriate.
Yeah, that's right. So, and I'm sure you're taking heat on that too. So listen, priorities are priorities. So I know he's been taking some heat on this one and I kind of get it in some ways, but listen, as you said, he had to do something and he knew that. And, is this the best possible something that he could have got at this point? Probably in terms of those managers that were willing to trade a couple of goaltenders away that are going to be playing for sure. He had to obviously give up massive amounts, but he wants to make a push. He wants to stay in the money. I did this deal for two reasons. One is you didn't even ask for my reasons for this, but I'm going to give them to you anyways.
I was, believe it or not.
The biggest reason, and I said this to Mike, is I'm just trying to keep Trouhas off my butt. I want to finish ahead of him. And then I started breaking this down. I'd actually even look, see what Matthews or McDavid could offer my team because I'm that good at making deals. And they're okay players, so I'm sure they'll offer something to my team. But then it dawned on me, if I am to somehow money this year, that will be 4 years in a row that I have been in the top three, which would probably push me to one of the greatest managers in recent Luke history. So recent Luke history would be the last 5 years. I'd probably be up there in that conversation for sure, because I would be, I think, the only manager in the last 4 years who has moneyed every single year. I think I would be the only one. So that is my goal, to be the greatest league manager of all time. So that's my rationale for that trade.
Right. Sorry. You completely lost me. I actually started in my head, started doing like the Homer Simpson monkey, like monkey with the symbol.
Yeah.
You started saying that because I thought I heard you say that you are one of the best managers.
Yeah, you could write.
Okay. I think most of the league would agree with that.
Sentiment. Oh, I don't think there'd be another manager. I don't think in the last 4 years there hasn't been a manager who, if I money this year, right, that means I've moneyed 4 years in a row. And I don't think there's been a manager who's moneyed 4 years in a row. I would have to take a look at it, but I mean, that's for our resident historian, Robbie. But I mean, that would put me in the conversation as the greatest league manager of all time.
Who are you having this conversation with?
You.
I'm not actually entertaining that conversation because I've said this before. I'm busy in the three-time winner's lounge with one other manager. And that's the only person that I have a conversation with.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could call.
Well, you guys, because you can have that Tony. Conversation because you're far enough down in the standing, so it doesn't really matter. I guess your winner's lounge is down in, you know, mid standings or something like that. I don't know. I'm just throwing this out here that, you know, if I money this year, roll out the red carpet because you thought that last summer's celebration was big.
So you've got the party going?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have a party planner yet?
Oh, not yet. No. Okay. It might be Nick. He's not going to win. So
he'll need a few extra bucks.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, we need to go because honestly, this is going to be like a 3-hour podcast.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
So Gibby and Robka pulled off a big one too. So Robin has been sitting back watching what's going on with Nick.
Yeah.
He sees that you and Mike have done something. So there's managers 2, 3, and 4. He picks up Tarasenko, Alex Lyon, Adam Fox, and then Verhaeghe from Aiden. So that is a haul and a half. Those are great players.
Unreal.
And then he gave up his defenseman, Hronek. But Jeremy Swayman, who's a keeper.
Yeah. So
Aiden now has Swayman and Jack Hughes. Put Aiden down as having the best keepers going into the pool next year. But Robka also solidifies his team. Tarasenko is playing on the first line in Florida. Verhaeghe is nothing but a goal scorer this year. Adam Fox gave up
Lekkonen as well, right? Or Lekkonen?
No, did he?
Yeah, but I agree with you. This is like for Gibby, what a great trade.
And for Robin.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, but if you're looking at something, you know, something exciting for Gibby here, this is a fantastic deal for him. And for Robka, this is actually really good. You know, I think he got a great return as well. He had to give up Swayman for sure, but you know, you're not gonna get that haul or that level of haul back if you're not giving up a keeper. So that my trade went through on Wednesday. Sorry, processed on Wednesday, right? When did I actually do that? Monday.
Monday.
And then when was the other one? Was Tuesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like it's kind of like almost, you know, quite back to back kind of action happening with the trade. So I love the Gibby Robka trade.
Yeah, now that the dust is settled, so our top four managers have made significant deals. And Nick is closing in now, only 6 back of first place. I think at one point he was 3 points back this week. So
yeah.
We are now seeing a tightening of first and second place, and we'll talk about why in a moment on winners and losers.
If we go to the WhatsApp though, like, because Bobby chirped in here on this. He said that.
I think he's our manager of the week, by the way, because he had no Wi-Fi in Cuba, and he's still chiming in from. He can't even see what's going on in the pool, and he still has the. That's the beauty of WhatsApp.
That's true. He's kind of, he goes, please. Yeah, he's chirping Mike. And then he goes after Robka as well. Right. And says he probably could have got a better return if he had waited. And I'm have a conversation with him or something like that. I don't know what exactly it was word for word, but it was the assumption that, you know, if he had made him an offer, it would have been better, but I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, listen, let's do this new segment. Who's hot, who's not, and then our winners and losers and on to
I'm getting tired.
Me too. So we promised everyone we would do this new segment. So let's get into it. So here's what we're going to do. Who's hot, who's not. three players who are on fire, three players who are very icy.
Love it.
This week and our Who's Hot segment this week. So with a player rank of this player rank in the last 7 days of 25.09, Connor Bedard is the hottest guy in the league right now. Valerie Nichushkin is our second hottest at 24.47 on the week. And then Nathan MacKinnon just slightly below at 23.65. Look at Bedard's stats for the week.
I know in four games, he's had 3 goals, 5 assists, 5 power play points and 10 shots on goal. This is just the beginning of the Bedard years. Right. And he is going to be an absolute beast and is an absolute beast in this pool for many, many years to come.
And then two Colorado guys, Nichushkin and MacKinnon, who are our next hottest guys, both 2 games played and very similar stats. So 2 goals and 2 assists each, 2 power play points for Nichushkin and 3 power play points for MacKinnon, and each had 1 game-winning goal. That's not a bad week's work and 2 games played to be putting up those stats. So the managers who have those 3 players certainly benefited from them this week.
Yeah, absolutely not. And definitely not a surprise to see MacKinnon up on a Who's Hot ledger or leaderboard at all. I mean, that's the season that he's been in. That's the player that he is. So it's going to be interesting when it comes draft time.
Now let's flip to the other side. Who's not this week and really bad 7 days for Rasmus Anderson, Noah Dobson, and Charlie McAvoy. So 3 defensemen make our not hot list. Rasmus Anderson at a -7.03 for the week. 4 games played, no points, and -7.
Yikes. Yeah. And Noah Dobson, -5.83. 3 games played, 0 points, -5. And then McAvoy, who I interestingly enough had tried to include in an offer with Mike to pull him away, but kind of glad I didn't now, because in 3 games, 0 points and only 1 shot on net. So at a -4.54. So, if you have those, any of those 3 on your squads, that you're hurting a little bit this week.
Well, Dobson's week was so bad. So I have Dobson. He's gone from the 3rd-ranked defenseman down to 6th. In 1 week because of the week that he had. So it can really impact. Yeah, it can have a, pretty, if you go -5 on a team, that can drop you down in the standings a couple of points.
Well, one
player.
Well, absolutely. And you flip to the standings. I mean, I'm not doing the sidebar here, but you flip and it's super close when it comes into some plus minus pieces, right? So, Holdsy is at +29 and Gibby's at +33. So, you have less than 5 there for sure, right? And 5 makes a big difference if you're going up or down. So at this point, so absolutely, if you're dropping 5 in a week, that's not a good sign.
So we'll build on this segment, a real quick intro to it this week. But thank you to our listener Robka for actually saying this would be something that we need to bring in, and maybe we'll change how we look at who's hot and who's not next year when we have more time to build up. But that will be a new segment we'll have every week as well. Now let's get into one of our classic segments, winners and losers. So for week 18, we're going to start with winners because I think this, we had 3 winners with the same amount. So myself, PMF, and Salt Lake Sandpipers all went +4.5.
Yeah. How often do you see this? So, this is crazy.
Yeah. So nice little jump. I mean, PMF got some double shutout night the other night, which I think propelled him. My team has I've got Nathan MacKinnon and David Pastrnak now. So they're just going to help out whenever they can. And that's good. And then Salt Lake Sandpipers, I don't know. I didn't really look into why his week went well. Do you know why?
No, I have no clue.
Okay. Well, we should, we should spend some time. We haven't given Robbie a whole lot of love the last few weeks. So let's take a moment here and see what,
I'm just going to click on his team here to see how he's been doing.
Yeah, let's see what happened, Robbie, in the last 7 days. Clayton Keller had a good week, 3 goals and an assist. He has Connor Bedard, that's why.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so that's the Connor Bedard effect. 8 points in 4 games, 20 shots.
Yeah, so look on the 12th there. He had 5 points, 1 goal, 4 assists. The guy is unreal player. 5 shots on goal in that game.
Yeah, well, here, you know what? This might be the correlation that we're looking for on the who's hot, who's not page, and then the winners and losers potentially.
We should add like physical attributes of league managers to who's hot and who's not too.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that could be like an extension out of things as well. Like,
that's the kind of thing that Doug listens for too.
I think so. He's all over that. He's just,
so there's, you know, not a whole lot to say about your winners this week. PMF and I are kind of getting pretty close to each other in the standings. I'm still,
well, this is, again, this is the thing though. Like, and when you have, you know, a jump of 4.5 points, that's pretty good over a week. You're going to have falls kind of similarly here, but it's all about who you're peeling the points away from right now. Right. And so when we flip to the loser side, Gibby, unfortunately, he's found himself, as the third biggest loser this week, right, at -4, you know, he kept himself off of, and last week he was at 4. So he's kind of now back to where he was. Right.
But I would like to propose that Gibby's a winner this week because he got Jeremy Swayman.
Oh my goodness.
I don't think he cares about the -4.
I don't really. Yeah. He stopped listening a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Doug. Oh man. he's now at 47. I don't think I've ever seen Doug at 47 points in the pool. An absolute collapse of his team. And he's trying to swing deals to get some keepers. Mm-hmm. And it's just not, I don't blame him. He reached out last week to try to see if we could do a Demko deal. And there's no point in me trading Demko.
At all.
I appreciated the fact that he reached out. It would be no lie that if him and I were to do a deal, then I would have to get Jake Oettinger coming back. I couldn't just give away Demko without getting a goalie back, but he just isn't able to get a deal done yet. And I wonder if he can pull something off.
Well, I'm just trying to, again, looking at his team right now, like what assets does he have, right?
Sidney Crosby, except Pittsburgh's gone cold and Crosby hasn't had the best couple of weeks. So, I don't know.
Patrick Kane, I don't know.
Yeah, I'd love to see him pull something off. And then, but we got to talk about our biggest loser for the week is Zoltok, going -6 for the week, down into the 120s again. He was up around 135. And, we were just a week and a half ago, 2 weeks, we were talking about him potentially getting the most points in league history. And now here he is, 4 points ahead of Nick in a Box.
Yeah.
So as of this afternoon, I think it's 6. There's been a bit of a change when we did the winners and losers.
Okay.
It was a 4-point change. So,
like, if you look at, again, like week 16, so 2 weeks ago, Zoltok had a 5-point drop, right? And that kind of, you know, we talked about this last week, that kind of was starting to signal, is there a shift here happening? So last week, it was he was at 135. Nick was at 121. And now, it's 129, 125. The spread's down to 4 points, and it's been a crazy, crazy week in the league for sure. I'm sure Nick is just over the top with respect to this. He had a 3.5-point jump this week, which is great. And you compound that with Robin's drop of 6 points. It just hasn't been a good, I would say, last three or four weeks, last month or so for Robka at all.
Yeah, I think I was texting with him today. I think he's still confident in his ability to win it all. It's just, I'm sure he's a little bit more aware of where Nick is in the standings now.
Yeah, you just can't fall, you just can't fall on your good looks. So that's the thing. You can't just fall back on that kind of stuff. Like, look what happened to my season when I did. So Robin's got to do something. I think he's got one trade. He did one trade. He may have to do something else here to keep that distance from Nick. So
there you go. That's our winners and losers for the week. Even though Nick had a 3.5 gain, so 9.5-point difference on the week. So
yeah,
he wasn't a winner, but certainly I think he's feeling pretty good about himself where he's at. And I'm hoping we see a bit of volatility in one and two between now and the end of the season. I would love to see them really duke it out in the final.
I think it's going to happen. We're still seeing these kind of big jumps in terms of 6 points, 4 points, 5 points. These types of jumps are still fairly significant at this time of the year. So still lots of hockey to be played in that sense. And I think, with the trades that have been made, the impact of those have yet to be fully realized. So we'll see as that plays out. And remember, the 18th here on Monday is the trade deadline. So if any managers want to make that final push or try to scrape a keeper away from somebody, get your offers in. Is it before noon?
I believe so. I think that's when it locks up.
Yeah, something like that.
All right, let's get into our main topic, and that is kiss, marry, and kill. And ironically, I just think I lost my wedding ring. I just dropped it. So speaking of marry, so I'm going to let you – we just picked teams randomly here.
Yeah, oh and again, boy.
Kiss is a player you've been really pleased with this year. Marry is somebody you're going to keep or would love to keep forever. And then kill is someone who really disappointed you. I'm going to let you start on Whiskey Dick Van Dyke Show is going to be our first manager, and I'll just find
my ring. Hope to God you can find your ring.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to. So we're going to start with Bowlby here. As Angela said, kiss, marry, kill. His kiss is without a doubt is Sidney Crosby. He has been absolute full value. If we all remember, it was $187 it cost him at draft time. And when you think about that, he's been putting up stats at a very impressive rate for that amount of money at $187. So he will put up somewhere between 85 and 90 points this year on a Penguins team that we've talked about already. That isn't impressive at all. So he's having an impressive season. Oh, that's thank God. He's having an impressive season on a really unimpressive team. His Mary is a player that came from me in a deal earlier on in a deal is Jake Oettinger. And I was happily wed to this goaltender. Had to go our separate ways because Doug loves goalies more than I do. That's the only reason here. And he has one of the best, if not the best in Oettinger for sure. And that's his Mary. Angela, do you want to go for his kill?
Well, I do, because we made a preseason pre-draft deal where he shipped me Nikita Kucherov and I shipped him Igor Shesterkin,
yeah,
which seemed like a really good one-for-one deal. Shesterkin has been overall disappointing this year, although his last month has been fantastic. And then what has Kucherov done? He's currently trailing only Nathan MacKinnon in the NHL for the scoring race. So Kucherov has been one of the best players in the league, where as of last week, Shesterkin was around about the 25th ranked goalie. So I think if he had a do-over, he would not do that trade. And it also really hurt him heading into the season because he didn't have the goal scorers that he needed to do well. So eventually he shipped out Shesterkin and got Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. So if you think Ryan Nugent-Hopkins for Nikita Kucherov, that is definitely a candidate for a kill. So Igor Shesterkin is Doug Bowlby's kill for the season. Let's go on to South Stars.
Entry number two. South Stars, Holdsy. So his kiss here is Thomas Harley, who's been really an incredible surprise and a pleasant surprise for Holdsy for sure. And has to be, he would be on my team at the very least consideration for a keeper. Okay, he's currently in the top 2D pairing on a perennial cup favorite team, and he's cheap, right? So when you have cheap D here, it's something to be a consideration, and he's obviously not parting with him in any way. I mean, he's been getting out lots of offers from managers, including myself, for that player throughout the season, and you haven't seen in that, like, there's been lots of players leaving Holdsy's team here, right? So it's not somebody who's unafraid of making a deal, but this is a player I think you're going to see him listed as one of his keepers.
And Mary is someone who he acquired very early on in the season. That's Kirill Kaprizov, who has been quite quiet this year. We haven't talked about him a lot, but 74 points in 60 games plus 11, 33 power play points. He's the second ranked left winger in the league. So he continues to be a superstar that really no one's talking about this year. It's going to be a super cheap keeper and a really good foundational piece for Holdsy next year. So definitely that's a player to marry. And I know he loves the wheel and deal, but I would not be trading Kaprizov at this point in the season or any point leading into the draft next year. On the opposite end is a right winger who we talked about last week as a superstar who might have his first 100-point season, although he's suffering from a ankle sprain right now, but that's Mitch Marner. He had a terrible start to the season. And that really, because Holdsy spent almost a third of his draft budget on him.
That's right.
And was hoping to build his team around Marner. And then Marner just was super cold at the start of the season. So someone definitely that would be a kill candidate on Holdsy's list, I would say.
Yeah, well, and we'll see a bit of that common theme happening too, where you see big money spent at the draft here, and it just doesn't translate at all, and it has really kind of locked a team for the remainder of the season. So it comes back to how important the draft is, and being very strategic, or having strategery at the draft to ensure that you're getting the right, not only the right players, but you're spending enough on them, spending the appropriate amount of money, I guess, on them, and not just burning $400 or $500 on goalies.
Who did that? All right, let's get into Mike's team. So his KISS candidate is the third rank winger Chris Kreider, who has put up 61 points in 66 games, but he always puts up specialty points. So he's a really interesting player, because he's not someone you want to get if you're looking for a 100-point guy. However, he gets power play points and shorthanded points and game-winning goals. So a late round pickup at $18.
And I remember when Mike picked him up, and everybody was just like, "Oh, that's a really good pickup." I remember in the chat that they were saying, "Oh, that's a great pickup." And you know, it comes to be here. It's been an amazing draft pick for $18 for him.
All right. So Austin Matthews, who he spent $360 on, and I really thought he would have kept him till the end of the year and proposed to him. I really thought that this was a marriage going into next year. And, you know,
he doesn't play on Vancouver, so the attachment is not.
That's a great point. But let me ask you a question, even though we're not talking about you. Will you consider keeping Matthews? Because
I am kind of considering it. Because again, I go back, because the research shows, you know, if you go back and listen to I think, is it episode 104, you know, he will go in and around $400. So I don't know. It's a consideration here. I mean,
you'd get him under 400, right? Like you've got to think that. And then you don't have to worry about choking at the draft, because you've got Austin Matthews already.
Well, and I don't have to worry about spending $500 in goalies, because I won't have.
That's right. That's another consideration. So, but back to Mike, I think that was, you know, Austin Matthews has done everything that he could have possibly asked for in a goal scorer. And you talked about him flirting with 70 goals. You know, he threw up 55 goals or whatever it is for Mike this season. So a great pickup and a merry candidate for Mike. And then on the other side was a keeper that is one of the worst keepers that we saw this year. That's keeper and goalkeeper. Like New Jersey traded him away. No one has him on their team anymore. And, you know, when you look at Mike not winning the pool right now and not being in first, it's because of his goaltending, and it started with a keeper in Vanacek. So I think of all the kill people we're going to be talking about here, I think Vanacek could actually be the top one in the entire league.
Yeah, I think so. And when we look at the importance of that position overall to the Lug and goaltending is, but especially for this year, right? I mean, I don't think we've seen a year where the top three managers were doing goalie deals, right, in order to secure a victory, right? So this is, we've seen some of the other trades happen, but I'll tell you, goalies have been a massive part of the season, especially for the top three managers. And so to have one on a kill list, if you're in a top three like Mike did, is that hurts.
Yeah. So for our next one, we're actually going to change the categories a bit to Mary Kill, in honor of the fine people of Utah and the Salt Lake Sandpipers. So we're not going to have a kiss. We're going to have two marriages and a kill. So Connor Bedard and Matt Boldy come in as Mary and Mary for Warham. And then, is that okay?
Sorry. Yeah, that's great.
Okay. Well, we'll go with it. Do we have any listeners in Utah yet?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. We won't after this, for sure.
Are you any kind of geographical?
No, I don't. I can't get any. I don't think I'll have to look at that. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Boy.
Anyways, Mary Kill is going to be the Salt Lake Sandpipers with Connor Bedard and Matt Boldy as the two players that he would love to marry. Obviously, Bedard, we've talked about today. We talk about him all the time. He is the next superstar in the NHL, and, you know, could be a 100-point guy as early as next year. So for a couple $100, he's got him in his pocket. And then Matt Boldy, who is emerging as one of the great left wingers in the game as well, a young player's elite fantasy assets, and he can keep them for the next 4 years. So
well, but
that's your Mary.
But his kill was it's got to be up there again. We talked about Vanacek being a horrible choice at draft night or for a keeper or whatever, but Johnny Hockey, Johnny Gaudreau was an awful choice in a way that it cost the Sandpipers $140 or 14% of their entire of his entire draft budget. And he's been dropped. Is he still a free agent or did he get picked up?
Nick traded him to me in the Pasternak deal and I dropped him right away. I don't think anybody picked him up again.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if he's still a free agent, but it's been, when you think of absolute, busts, oh no, you can get him. Yeah. You can pick him up.
You go ahead and do that.
47 points minus 19. Ooh, wow. What's his PRK here? 52.
That's not bad.
You know, but when you think about for $140, it's bad. So, listen, right. But when you talk about Robbie Worms, Mary here, it'd be a different season for him for sure. And you won't see him spending $140 on Johnny Hockey next year.
That's right. Okay, let's go to our first place manager, Zoltok. His KISS player is Sergei Bobrovsky, who, you know, he's a hot and cold goalie, like can go from winning the Vezina Trophy to being one of the worst goalies in the league.
By season. I always find this, like, you don't know what season you're going to get with him. It's not just simply by, like, oh, he's going through a cold spell, like, of four games or something like that. No,
he just does it for 12 months.
He does it for 12 months, exactly. So you never know what kind of Bobrovsky you're going to get, but that's been his KISS.
He got a very good Bobrovsky this year. And then the guy who almost went to Florida with him, Artemi Panarin, is Zoltok's Mary candidate. $202 player, I believe, in the draft. His performance is amongst the best in the NHL this season. Certainly one of the best wingers that we've seen. And I wonder at $200 if Robka will consider keeping him, because Panarin was lights out and very deserving of the Mary category. And on the other end, a third Russian. I didn't even realize we did this.
Ilya
Samsonov is the kill. $122 on draft night as a keeper. And I would say Robka didn't have many misses this year. This one was a massive miss.
Yeah, at $122 for sure. It doesn't stack up to Panarin and Bobrovsky at all. You know, has this impacted his season? Perhaps. Time will tell when it comes down to it's going to come down to the wire for sure. But starting to see a bit of a trend here with some bad goalie choices.
Gimme time.
Carter
Verhaeghe is his KISS. You know, Verhaeghe is just a legit fantasy guy now. So good for Robka for picking him up. But point per game guys on Florida's first line or second line all the time. Fifth rank left winger, and whoever has him by season's end, because there's no guarantee that Robka will have him at season's end. There's still 2 days to go in the trade deadline, but should consider keeping Verhaeghe. He's a very good option at a, not a bargain, but at a very reasonable price. So that's Gibby's KISS candidate. And what about his Mary candidate?
Is without a doubt, is the best keeper in the pool for next year is Jack Hughes. And you know, when we look back at top trades and top acquisitions, this one from Mike has got to be, Mike sent some blockbusters this year. You got to give him some credit.
Oh, yeah.
So he's Mike is always all in, and he's not afraid to do the massive deals and take the risk. So I know sometimes he gets grief or whatever, but, I think he likes it.
I think he likes the grief as well.
I think so. But I mean, the guy is not afraid of dealing. So when Gibby is able to, and Gibby's done some big deals too. So look at his squad for next year is going to be crazy. Jack Hughes is a big part of that. So that's a Mary all day long.
And the kill is the biggest name in the game. Connor McDavid. I don't think Aiden would do it over again, spending over 40% of his budget on Connor McDavid. You know, McDavid has caught fire since being traded away, but basically we've talked about it enough, really was a player that kind of bombed Aiden's season early on because he wasn't able to surround McDavid with the quality of player he would like to, because he spent so much money on him. And had McDavid been performing at the rate he is performing now, maybe, you know, McDavid would be in the marry or KISS category. But I think the way it happened early on in the season, with Edmonton and McDavid, that is his kill player for the year.
Yeah, without a doubt, it cost us way too much money. You know, every time we go through the Mary category, guess what song is popping into my head? Guess what would be, if we did the segue music, it would be that Beyonce song that put a ring on it kind of thing.
Oh, I was thinking Bruno Mars. Is that the one?
Maybe.
I think I want to marry you. That song, that stupid song.
No, that Bruno Mars. Is that Bruno Mars? I got Beyonce in my head right now, so that's that one. So,
let's, you know, I want to wrap this up. But what is the worst genre of music you think was of all time?
Oh, like the worst?
Yeah, I know my answer, so I can let you think for a while.
I'm not a country fan, at all. Like the cuddly pop kind of music.
For me, it's the early 2000s punk pop.
Yeah. I don't Blink
182.
Yeah. Or Sum 41. Yeah.
That's the worst. That is the worst music.
Yeah.
Ever. Well, yeah, also, that's the power pop. Like, wasn't it sad? Like, in the early 90s, the early 90s, the music was just so amazing. Like, and mm-hmm. not just like, so obviously I like kind of the grungy alternate stuff. But like the rap music that was coming out in the early 90s, yeah. But then like, we were so weird because REM was like, oh, we're just going to do a song with no guitars, Losing My Religion. Here you go. Yeah. And people were like, yep, that should go to number one. And then let's get some Gregorian monks doing some chanting. Let's do that too. That'll go number one. And the Cranberries, it was all really cool music. And then like Korn with a backwards K came
in. Oh yeah, that was horrible.
Limp Bizkit in the late 90s. And then
the rap metal or something. Like, it wasn't even, they called it rap metal or rap. Yeah, I don't even know what it was, but yeah, I would agree with you on that piece. Like, I'm not a big country fan, but that kind of like early 2000, late you know,
90s, it was horrible.
90s, and then the early 2000s, kind of like all what's so called alternative music was. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah. Manager 7, the great Heisenberg, is. Kiss can, I don't even know how we got to that, but his Kiss candidate is Leon Draisaitl. You know, not his best performance, still going to throw up $100, but we're going to say the reason why he's worthy of a Kiss is not because what he did for the Heisenberg franchise.
No, that's right.
Because it led to the acquisition of a $10 Tage Thompson.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that came from me as well. I've done a couple of trades here that have listed some managers, some Kisses and Marys, I think. So, Ottinger for Bowlby and then his Kiss for Heisenberg. Yeah. A deal that I thought at that time that you know, is going to kind of keep me in the money, push me into the money. It hasn't, but we shall see. It's awesome to know that at one point in my team's history, I've had both McDavid and Draisaitl, which is kind of cool. But it did cost me Tage Thompson for sure.
Okay, so the Mary candidate is Aiden Hill. Vegas is struggling a little bit right now. Hill was hurt for a while, but he was ranked in the top five prior to getting injured and is a great keeper for Heisenberg to have. So Draisaitl is the Kiss that brought him Tage Thompson.
Yeah.
Aiden Hill is the Mary. And then Timo Meier, what a disaster. 49th ranked player, $170 at the draft. Like an absolute kill candidate.
What would you have bid on him at the draft time? For me, it was nowhere near $170.
Oh, I thought moving from San Jose to New Jersey, playing with Jack Hughes, I would have put him around 150 or so, really. Yeah. I don't think at the time it was a bad bid. I just think he has just not fit well right now, at least from a fantasy perspective for New Jersey. So I don't know. I can't think. I have such PTSD from every draft night we've ever done, Brent, that I don't know. I would have probably bid $600 for Timo Meier.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yep. Do you know how I'm already getting anxious about next? Like, I'm excited about next year's draft.
I know.
But then knowing an hour in how I'm going to feel that familiar feeling of disappointment in myself. Ugh.
Well, then it sets into panic.
Yes.
Right. And that's the issue. Right. And so I don't think that's a panic. Like when it comes back to it, I would agree with you. Maybe like for me, it would have been, you know, $140, maybe $150. I don't think $170 is outrageous because he did, you know, there was a bit of an excitement surrounding Timo Meier when coming into New Jersey, but it just hasn't panned out. But that's what happens in the draft, right? You kind of get caught up. This is a player that you really want. He's on your list. He didn't get carried away in any way. $170 is a lot of money, but it could have been a lot more.
Oh man.
Yeah. I know, yeah. Causing yourself a lot of anxiety. You know who doesn't have anxiety next year is Gump.
No, so his
was a cucumber.
Well, we could flip the Kiss and Mary here because Travis Konecny and Zach Hyman, you have his Kiss and Mary. Two players he's got to keep. Hyman is definitely the Mary guy. He's got over 40 goals on the season, more goals than anyone who's not named Austin Matthews or Sam Reinhart. So what an incredible season that Hyman is having. I saw a graph. Most of his goals come within like 10 feet of the net. He's just like a
grind. And there was something TSN did something on him as well, where they're saying like, is this the McDavid effect? And they dispelled that myth completely. This is this player. And this is who he is. And he's putting over, you know, he's on par. What did they, he's on target. Did they say 57 or something as a target for goals?
He's going to go north of 50 easily.
Like it's just, he's just at lights out. Fantastic.
Yeah. And the Mary candidate, Travis Konecny, top 10 winger, Philadelphia is improving. It looks like he's going to sign a long-term deal there. So if I'm Gump, those are my two players I'm keeping. The kill manager here, or the kill player here, is Linus Ullmark, who was the number one ranked goalie last year.
Yeah.
In the pool, and this year, $157 bid. Jeremy Swayman is the number one player, and he ranks in the 20th for goalies. So definitely a kill candidate at 157. You don't keep him, and he's not going to be on Boston next year. So
no, really, but I mean, this is coming back to this. The question, same comment. That we had about Timo Meier, that like 157 for what you know, one thought was the number one ranked goalie going to be playing on a fantastic team, just didn't pan out. But like that wouldn't have been even a dice roll, right? That's just a no brainer. And I think again, when everybody, you know, if they think back at, you know, that winning bid, it's just like, ooh, that, you know, Gump just scored himself a really good goalie, but wasn't the case.
All right, let's get into our last four here. PMF, his Kiss, Mary, and Kill players. His Kiss player is Kyle Connor, who once again established himself as one of the most potent goal scorers in the league. Had a bit of an injury this year, or he might have been a Mary candidate, but a really, really solid goal-scoring player on a really strong Winnipeg Jets team. So definitely somebody that PMF should be very thankful for. His Mary candidate is someone he's going to miss, Connor Hellebuyck. I wonder if he'll hit on him next year, but wow. Like,
it's got a love affair with the Jets.
Yeah. One of the great keepers of all time in the league.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
And the reason why the term keeper rule has come into effect is for players like this, so other people can bid on him. But Connor Hellebuyck has been such a good soldier for PMF. One of the reasons why PMF has done so well in the goalie category. And then also, you know, helped him get the Carolina goalies who he might keep next year. So definitely Connor Hellebuyck is a Mary candidate and someone that PMF is very thankful for. On the other end is a young player, Tim Stützle from Ottawa, who is a kill candidate who got over 90 points last year, but has been disappointing this year. You know, PR rank around 40 all season here or there. He should be somebody who's in the top 20 now. Performing at a much higher level and has been a disappointment for PMF, particularly as a keeper.
Do you think PMF rolls the dice on him again next year?
He traded him.
He did.
Wait, or did he?
That's right.
I don't know.
I thought he did.
I think. Yeah. I think he did. Yeah. We're good. We do our research, eh? Okay. Did he trade him? Let's see who owns him. South Stars has him. So he did. He traded him for in the Byfield trade.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Let's get on to you next. So your Kiss candidate, Mikko Rantanen, your buddy who, cost.
I love this player.
$339. You didn't pay a penny for him. Traded him. for Alexander Georgiev. What a one of the great trades of the year, in my opinion.
Thank you.
So you didn't pay a penny for him, and then you got him for $339 or for free. Nick paid $339 for him. He's your Kiss candidate. I would put him as your Mary candidate, if not for which player?
Yeah, well, that's Sam Reinhart. I mean, this is again, I said this a number of times. He was on my list, but in no way did I expect the level of performance that he has put up for me this year. And without a doubt, if there's one untouchable player who has been on my team all season, it's Sam Reinhart, and it's been 100% of a surprise for me. I knew he's going to be great. It'd be a nice addition. And I was just kind of looking at it like a serviceable winger there, but, this has been more of a surprise each and every game that he plays, when you have him on your squad. So what is he even at now? Like he's just having one heck of a season.
Yeah. I wonder if he resigns in Florida, but yeah, you're keeping him, right? You're married.
Oh, without a doubt. Like, yeah, he's, you know, in 67 games, he's got 46 goals and 31 assists plus 20. So, purely of one. So
remember earlier in the podcast when you talked about how you are one of the greatest.
Yeah, I remember that.
Managers. Yeah, you remember saying that? Do you also remember drafting Frederik Andersen for $100 plus, $102 after he already acquired three starting goaltenders for $414?
So this is – yeah, I do. This is my kill for sure. But it's not simply because of – I spent $102 bucks on him, right?
Yeah.
So it's not just because of the $102. I think people would have been like, oh, you know, you got Frederik Andersen for $102. That's not bad. It's compound that with the fact that I had already spent $414 on other goals.
Yes.
So it's not just Freddie Andersen. And Freddie, he hasn't been present in the NHL at all this season, right? He's been injured. So this is probably, it won't be a strategy that I repeat. I blame the Athletic as well. Even though I didn't use any of that stuff, but I have to find something other than myself to blame. It's just my MO.
You heard it here first, folks. One of the greatest managers of all time spent 50% of his budget on goalies this year. All right, let's get into the last two. So my kiss is Noah Dobson, who I got from
Rob. Oh, we'll talk about your goalie here in a minute too there, three-peat. So
easy now. So are you talking? Talking about my Mary, which is Thatcher Demko.
No, I'm not talking about your Mary.
My Mary later in the season. So my season was done. But Noah Dobson has been a great player.
Oh,
but, you know, incredible. He was our not hot player this week, but has had a great season. Will come in at around a point per game by the end of the season. So if he can get 80 points, this is a guy you keep all day long. So I'm going to kiss him. I would have married him.
Unreal. Absolutely. And it's not the Dobson's not a Hughes or a Makar, but I mean, it's in the same conversation for sure.
My Mary guy is Demko, who I got in the same deal for most of the season, has been the number one ranked goalie. He's injured right now, but I don't care because I'm not competing to win. So it doesn't even stress me that he's missing the next few weeks, but he's an elite goalie and you want to go into the draft with an elite goalie. If you can get an elite goalie for $25 at the draft, then you're really laughing.
But what you do not want to go into the draft with is in search for a goalie that costs more than $100.
Do you know what this cost? This cost my friendship with Doug. The fact that he put this guy up and I bit, I didn't even know who he was, for $100. Phoenix Copley is my kill. And it also, and you're hearing it here first, killed my friendship with Doug Bowlby.
Yeah, this is, you know, when some may say that this is your worst draft pick of all time, but this may go down in Lou Glore as the worst pick, draft pick of all time, not just the worst pick for the Patriots. It may go down. I don't know. Again, I have to refer to the resident historian, Robbie Warham, to see who actually had the worst draft pick of all time, but this has got to be in the top five for sure. So congrats.
Thank you. So listen, I know this is going on way too long and we need to finish with Nick, but I just want to run down. So my keepers, if anyone thinks like it's like a ha-ha joke that I'm not good at the draft, I'm actually bad at the draft. So listen to this. So I go in with Vasilevsky, Nico Hischier, Nikita Kucherov, Cale Makar. That's a really good foundation. If you have those guys, you're like, if I have a good draft, I'm going to win the pool. So then I get Barkov, not bad. And then listen to this. John Carlson, Elias Lindholm, Andrei Svechnikov, Connor Brown, Phoenix Copley, Matt Boldy, Shea Theodore, Anton Forsberg, Antti Raanta, Hampus Lindholm, and Evander Kane. How I'm not in last place, I have no idea. That is one of the worst collective drafts of all time.
Yeah, it was a goodie, that's for sure. Connor Brown. Spent $101 on Copley and $114 on Lindholm. And then you can kind of see yourself getting a bit gun shy afterwards. And like it's kind of
called sadness, actually. It's not gun shy. It's called,
you got Raanta and Lindholm, Hampus Lindholm back to back, you know, that in back to back rounds at 142 and 143 respectively. Yeah. That's a goodie.
That is a goodie. Yeah, let's get on to Nick. Cause it's almost dinner time. His kiss is Philip Forsberg, $3, 189th player chosen in the draft. Nick up nicely, with his performance this year. And, you know, Nick traded him away and built his team further with Forsberg. So a very nice kiss candidate. Your Mary candidate has to be Nathan MacKinnon.
Oh, without a doubt. Danny
Hill's best player this year and the one who should win the Hart Trophy. He's got over 100 points already. So he got 100 points and then traded him away. So he did exactly what he needed to do for Nick. And again, set him up to compete in the final weeks for the Keith Primo Cup. So that's your... I'm kissing your Mary. Who's his kill?
Oh, his kill is a player that I don't think anybody kind of really saw this level of a disaster coming out of it. That's Jonathan Huberdeau. Was a complete waste of $56 and continues to be for this season at the very least, just a horrible fantasy hockey choice. And when you think of Nick and you look at his draft, could have been $56 spent other places. So he had a lot of dollar players. Holy smokes.
Well, we thought that him and Robin had two of the worst drafts of the season. Here they are in first and second place. I know.
Yeah. Look at Robka's dollar draft.
I know. We ranked him as having the worst draft. It shows what we know at the end of the day.
My goodness.
You and I, the two best managers in recent memory.
Well, yeah. I know. How are you just jumping onto my coattails here?
I am. Yeah, sure. That's what I've been doing since you joined in 2008 or whatever it was.
Yeah, something like that. You've just been riding my coattails, Trujas, with a Guinness in hand. Listen, everyone, that has been episode 105. Kiss, marry, and kill. As always, have a happy St. Patrick's Day. Enjoy responsibly, obviously. And next week, what do we have planned for next week? Do we know yet?
Well, we had to wait until the trade deadline was done, but here's what we're going to do. We're really going to hone in on who's in the money. So we have to hone in on Robka, Nick, Mike, and I think we need to include you in this.
We're
going to get very category specific to see where things are rock solid and where they're vulnerable. So where managers are vulnerable and also who is competing with them in those categories. So we're going to get very specific into kind of the pathway to winning the pool, because players can't make, or managers can't make trades anymore. So we might as well pull back the curtain and say, here's what's on tap for the next 4 to 6 weeks as we end the season.
I love it. And tonight is a massive night in the pool for sure. So make sure everybody sets their lines. I doubt everybody will be, maybe if this drops here in time, people will be immediately jumping on and listening to our solid and sage worthy advice. But listen, make sure you set your lines and we'll see you next week.
See you, boys.